Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That is very good. In fact, text away 651-461-9226. With the president not winning the Nobel Peace Prize, who will kiss up to him the most? Who will kiss up to him the most? I already saw Megyn Kelly's out there strong. Hugh Hewitt's out there strong. Somebody's trying to think, congressman is trying to get like legislation to still award him the Nobel Peace Prize. We'll confirm this with Major, but Adam and Dave are here too. I believe I saw this two places today where you had to submit your entry to win the Nobel Peace Prize by January 31st. Is that correct?
It's very early in the year.
Great day, my birthday.
Yeah, in honor of your birthday. But, so in other words, you know, when he solved 74 wars, none of that is a factor.
No.
Right? Which also makes it even more ludicrous when Obama won it. So Obama won it just for campaigning.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the Obama one is absurd.
Absolutely.
Hope.
Yeah.
And change.
I mean, that's it. In the Greek columns, you know, and apparently he wasn't George W. Bush. Okay, we play a little game here that occasionally we hear something, and so we have to play the little games. Go ahead, Dave. Hit our stuff.
There have been many great moments in the long history of WCCO radio. These are not those. The Chad Hartman Show now proudly brings you a top five ridiculous statement as heard on WCCO.
A giant pumpkin drop. That's right. They employ a 100-foot crane to lift pumpkins.
Sounds
in the
fun,
air,
right?
And drop them on the ground. Why do we want to see pumpkins crash on the ground, though? Like, why is that a universal thing? As silly as it is, yeah, I want to watch a giant
Letterman
fall
from
the rain.
Right?
Absolutely.
Why do we love that?
We just like seeing things explode. Sure. I also think there's some of us have a little twisted thing in our brain, too. Like, ooh, imagine if that was a human body that fell from that. It would splat like that.
Okay.
To borrow your producer's line, am I wrong?
Okay, what percentage of the public, as they're watching things smash, thinks, God, I wish it was that guy at work, you know, just smashing to the ground.
Not wishing that it were, but more like...
Kind of.
I bet you that's what it's like, when a body hits the ground.
When you see a series of pumpkins smashing to the ground, you'd be like, that one's Chad. I think he exploded, that pumpkin exploded like a Susie, I think, yeah.
Honestly, do we need to send help for you?
Yes, for a variety of reasons.
I mean, Letterman and all three of us just love, especially NBC Letterman, and smash things brilliantly. Was young Adam Carter, who was getting scared by Nana, do I have it right there?
Yeah.
And also playing football in the backyard by himself?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you first started thinking, what if that was Nana or that was some of these other kids who won't play with me and their heads were being smashed?
I never had a predictive thing. Like, I'm imagining it was somebody I knew. I just would imagine that, like when a watermelon hit in the ground and it splatters red,
I don't think it's somebody's head.
I've never a body hitting the sidewalk.
Dave, have you ever once thought when something splats in the ground, God, I really wish that.
God, I wish. Stop. You're twisting my words.
Am I really twisting his words? You be objective here.
You are twisting his words.
Not much, am I?
But just, you can leave the words at face value. That we love to imagine instead of a pumpkin, it's a human body.
How is that different than wishing?
I wouldn't say love to imagine. I think you just go there. Your mind goes there like, geez.
What percentage of people?
You give it the old yeesh.
How do I go there and think?
Hey. Ooh, I'm glad that wasn't a human body.
I can imagine
that's what it would be like.
No. If you would have said that, you'd be in your car right now and we would have kept you around it. What other smashing things do you think human body?
Imagine this guy at a Gallagher show.
Just stop right there. Yes, you can. Gallagher, baby.
He's not with us, right?
No, Gallagher passed.
Gallagher gone.
Sad day.
Gallagher gone. Okay, here's the second part. Starkey, they bring in big stars, right? Starkey has traveled the planet and have truly helped tens of millions of people with hearing, and they have the big gala all over the place. This year, it's going to be at the Armory, and the feature is Elton. Has been helped greatly, and Elton has traveled. And so among the folks attending, Costner. Can we get Costner on?
Make a call. Mm-hmm.
How about Gina Davis? Chris Tucker would be pretty good, right?
Sure.
How about this one? Jimmy Walker. I don't think it's the golfer, Jimmy Walker.
JJ?
It's got to be.
Dynamite?
Dynamite. It's got to be him. Some people from NSYNC, but here's the one for you, Lou Ferrigno. So I want you to tell the Lou Ferrigno, and then as Adam tells this story, because occasionally, I feel like everyone in talk radio has done this bit. Tell me your brush with a celebrity.
Yeah.
Tell me, text away. This, I want you to only text or call your uncomfortable, awkward, or mean-spirited interaction with a celebrity or so-called celebrity, because this is classics. 651-461-9226. Go ahead, remind
Costner, me. Costner, by the way, was in here with right where I'm standing with Shelby one time.
Really?
Yeah. The entire window was full of CCO Radio's female employees.
Kind of like now? When they were
just staring at you.
Well, was this like Dancing with Wolves? Was
this
the environment?
I can't remember what the premise or what the topic was that specific.
Is it kind of over for Costner? The way things ended with Yellowstone, and then he put that other thing out that was going to be like a 5-part series, and it made like 10 cents?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is Costner done, Dave?
I think Hollywood has kind of said, all right, Kevin, we're good without you.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is, maybe it was because of, no, it was a Comic-Con.
That's what it was.
So Lou Ferrigno was in town for Comic-Con, the Hulk, and he was...
Kyle had brought him
in. Cousin Kyle had brought him in.
Can you give us a little cousin?
Lou Ferrigno's here, man.
And we've been fortunate enough where we get celebrities from here from time to time.
Right.
And sometimes you go, like Evander Holyfield was here one time, and I went out and got a picture with the champ with holding the fists up. That's original.
Did you call him the champ
no,
the entire
I
time?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
So Lou Ferrigno was out there, and people had stopped and getting pictures with Lou Ferrigno. And I was just at the desk, and I said, what the hell? I'll go out there.
Right. Get a picture.
Get a picture with Lou Ferrigno. So I walk out there just as Lou is about to walk out the door. Hey, Lou, how are you? Can I get a shot with you quick? He gave me the wave off. Before he had an assistant with him. Sorry, we got to get going.
We got to go.
So I got the brush off.
Important. You got the daily.
From Lou Ferrigno.
You got the Chuck Daly Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno didn't have time for me.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
Because if you want to get brushed off by a celebrity, you want it to be
B
or a C-lister.
Right. I mean, it's Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie, no, you got Lou for outside of the Hulk. What else has Lou done? Am I missing something else in the IMDb career of Lou Ferrigno?
Like, was he in the early, the Arnold Schwarzenegger videos, the workout videos, or not in this?
I mean, like the doc
bodybuilder
pumping iron?
Yeah, those.
Maybe something like that. The Arnold doc you did watch, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That was great.
Yes.
Okay, so the Guinness, it's not a doc, right? It's a docudrama. Docudrama.
It's based on real characters. I don't know how much of the story is.
And you're liking it.
Very good, yeah.
You're liking it. How about, did you finish The Pit?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that
fantastic.
Was
fantastic.
So right. good. And then our boy Kieran is in The Task,
yeah,
the HBO one.
I've seen the first, I think, four.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
Very
do you think
Mayor
so
of Easttown-y.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. Have you started Dark Horses yet?
Dark Horses. Slow Horses.
Slow Horses. Slow Horses.
We watched
yeah.
the first one. But
Dark
then
Horses.
The,
what am I talking about?
But then we started at the same time as House of Guinness, but we just finished House of Guinness. So
you're back in. And normally the first episode of Slow Horses is kind of slow, and then something at the end sets up the whole thing. Did mm-hmm. they kind of do that again?
Yes, kind of, but I was kind of meh on the first episode.
Really?
Yep.
God, I don't want that. I was watching a clip of the Ray Sehorn, Vince Gilligan Pluribus. I'm still totally confused what it's about. Early November, but I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm in for the first season. I'm assuming you're in also?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're taking your daughter out to lunch?
Yep, going over to pick up the kid at college, and we're going to take her out to lunch.
Nice.
Yep.
Have a great week.
Thank
well,
you, sir.
Well, I'll probably see you tomorrow.
Very good.
Does that mean yes?
You too?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't invited.
Was not invited. Did we mention that on air, that you weren't invited?
Yeah, we talked about it with Susie.
I was
she
joking.
She mocked me.
I was joking. Yeah. You okay?
Not really.
Not really. Do you want to bring him?
You want to go?
I'm not a plus one.
Yeah. You're the one?
Nobody's plus one.
My name is on the invite. All right? I don't plus one.
So if I just bring you as my, say, Michelle, you're out and bring you, you're not going to be that person?
No, I'm not going to be that person.
Excuse me. La-di-da. All right, have some fun. I'm going to have, I want you to text me again or call. Kelly's on hold right now. An awkward, uncomfortable encounter with a celebrity. Or do you also imagine when something falls to the ground, do you imagine that's a human body? Because I don't think there's another person who isn't incarcerated right now who thinks that way. You, Dave?
They might be on their way to incarceration.
Yes, yes.
Awaiting trial, perhaps.
Or awaiting significant therapy. Little Stretch Lab?
Yes.
Let's go Stretch Lab. How about this weekend? Weekend looks pretty good. At first, they were talking about maybe some rain on Sunday. Now it looks pretty darn good. So how about getting out there with some physical activity? But to add to your physical activity, first, don't stop stretching at home. We all need to stretch. We all need to move our body. But also, you can have people help you. Okay? We go to doctors. We go to various people who rely on their expertise to help us out and get us in a better position. Go to Stretch Lab. They have trained professionals there who are going to help you out and sign up for the first 50-minute encounter. They have technology there that's going to evaluate you. They have folks who have been trained for a long time. They're going to speak with you. And I've been going for 6 years, and I've recommended it to dozens of friends. A lot of people have sent me info here, a text or an email to me saying they've loved their visits at Stretch Lab. Get it done right now. Track them down. StretchLab.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Among the texts, saw Puckett at the Nankin years ago. Mac's wife walked to his table to ask for an autograph. She put down a napkin. He did a sign. He did sign it, but didn't look up. I don't blame him at all. Yeah. Where do we stand on that, Dave? Where you see somebody at Note, and they're out to dinner with their family. Dave Harrigan's protocol of interrupting, hoping to get maybe a hello, a little story, and also an autograph. Where do you stand on that? Okay or not okay?
Personally, I'm not. I'm not. I would find it very uncomfortable. Like a couple months ago, Ric Flair was in here.
Yeah.
And every male employed at WCCO Radio in Odyssey, Minneapolis, found their way into the building that day.
Yeah.
And was just
normally they're
around.
Here once every 2 weeks. Yeah. Let's just be honest.
Where's Rick? Where's Rick?
That's okay. That's a side issue.
And I mean, you could go in, you know, he was, as far as I could tell, taking pictures, but I was here at the time, finishing up stuff at the store. I don't want to do that. So, I mean, certainly then, even with a guy and a gal and his family, or, you know,
I'm out. I'm absolutely out. Also, where do you stand on if it's their signature thing and you go up and say, do your thing? You know, like how many times if you see Ric Flair out and you happen to go, woo, mm-hmm. or Space Mountain, are you that guy? Because I never, ever would be that guy.
Mr. President, tell me I'm fired.
Yeah. Do the dance. You know, no. Let's bring in former producer of the show, a man who travels the world on a regular basis and shockingly is in Minnesota. It is Brendan Kieran. How are you?
Chadley, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you doing about your Cubs?
The spot on the bandwagon never got cold.
Yeah.
I never left.
Okay. You're such a fraud. The other day I'm texting with this guy about the game, right? And he and his smart, intelligent wife, Sarah, who is with him for reasons that make no sense to any of us.
Okay.
I mean, she's successful. Okay. She's beautiful. She's a great mom. And she's with this guy. And they're watching a TV show when his devoted Cubs are in the playoffs. He's like, we have no chance. I'm thinking ahead to spring training. So then last night he starts texting me when they have the lead. How about my Cubbies? Okay. Get out of here.
Never a doubt. We're a first-inning team, Chad.
Yes, you are.
My problems are that we took Craig Counsell and paid him like Tom Kelly. That's a reference for CCO listeners.
Wow.
And the Brewers are continuously better than us, but that's all right.
Yeah, exactly.
We move on.
What do you got? I mean, you could call in any time, but what do you have for us?
Well, I was going to call the hotline, but I've heard from friends of mine in the business it's not cool to call the hotline if you don't work there anymore. So I figured I should call call-in line.
No, you are allowed to call this hotline whenever you want. Which person is this who said?
I love it.
Yeah.
I'll text you off here.
Okay.
I'll text you off here.
Hold on. Can Dave and I guess? Dave, you guess first.
I'd rather not.
I'm going Sheely.
All right. That Papa Bear? By the way, Carter is a pretty good Papa Bear impersonation.
Yeah.
But that's why I call.
Yeah.
All right.
Tex wants to know if this is Tony Siragusa on the radio right now.
The goose is back. I have not lost the socks that are in my mouth. That's why I work in marketing and not in radio, guys. So I'm driving to pick up my wonderful wife who's getting an oil change on the car.
Yeah.
I turn on my favorite noon to three program.
Common.
And you guys are talking. Oh my gosh, this isn't Common?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I thought we were supposed to meet at Presswood for tea time. I'm sorry. My bad.
Right.
My bad. So Carter's talking about the Lou Ferrigno situation. Do you happen to remember what my job was before or after I left?
Oh, yeah. I do.
Your show?
Yeah.
Right?
Our mutual friend, Teresa.
Yeah. And I was doing PR for the Comic-Con.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So now, I wasn't the guy in the elevator, but I had my Lou Ferrigno story with, I had to follow Lou Ferrigno and Michael Rooker around Target Field as they threw out the ceremonial first pitch as their media handler. So it's not the media handler that brushed off Carter. I'm realizing this now. But I spent an entire Twins game searching for protein sources for Lou Ferrigno because he would not eat anything other than just protein. So at one point, I end up bringing him what basically resulted in a giant bowl of cold-cut meats that he would eat. And I had to search the entire, what do we call it now, Thrivent Club?
Yes.
I had to search the entire thing.
How much did you enjoy that on a scale of 0 to 10? Where was your enjoyment on that one?
I'd put that at about a 0.5, you know, because they led me to have a cool story to call in and talk to you about.
Exactly.
And I got an autographed baseball with Michael Rooker and Lou Ferrigno, which I then gave to my child, and he lost it. So,
okay. Yeah. Why am I forgetting who is Michael Rooker?
Oh, so he had like he was like big in what was the movie with Sly Stallone with the was a cliffhanger? Was that the movie? Like he was in that, and then he kind of went down, and now he's back in like Guardians of the Galaxy. He's the guy who like blows like the
okay.
The, like,
I think I know.
Around.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think
he's
I got
a career resurgence. So now I'm like, where's that baseball, man? Could have been worth a couple.
Could have been worth I don't know, $1.50. Was that about the estimate we're guessing?
Should be.
All right, brother. I'll reach out soon.
All right, I appreciate it. See you later.
Brendan Kieran. Kelly, go ahead. You're next on CCO. Awkward encounters with celebrities. What do you have?
Well, I have a quick thing about Lou Ferrigno. We saw him at Comic-Con as well. And there's nobody at his table. And he looked really sad. A really big, bad man looking very sad.
Yeah.
So there was nobody at his table that wanted to talk to him. But I have an uncomfortable one.
Okay.
We went to Crypticon many years ago, and it was our very first. My son is a celebrity whisperer. Everybody loves him. They're so kind to him. But we went to Crypticon, which was very, very small at that time. And I walked into a room, and here were two handlers helping this very elderly man shuffle to his table. He sat down. He got a pen out of his pocket. It was Billy D. Williams.
Oh, wow.
And he was, hardly anybody even knew who it was. He
really?
Was at the very, very end of his career. I was just stunned to see him sitting there at a little Formica table. It was just, so I never went over to him or anything.
Yeah, that's tough.
It was really hard, but those things, those cons are just brutal for those people. So
yeah.
I do feel, but I think the worst one that was ever was Gilbert Gottfried. He was just a jerk.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate it. I think a texter nails it too. Lou gets around, and Lou Ferrigno is willing to appear.
No kidding.
It is kind of sad. I mean, Billy D. Williams was the bleep for a long time, right?
Yes.
You know what? It probably ruined it for him when he did that stupid Star Wars thing. When he went on the most overrated piece of entertainment ever, that probably ruined his career.
Billy Guerin wants to fight you right now.
Yeah, he does. Well, 5-0. Should we get to Mike real quick?
Yeah, grab Mike quick.
Okay. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, it's about circa 1980, Iggy Pop at First Avenue.
Oh.
I see that. You know, you're not supposed to have cameras. They got a sign. I'm like, whatever. It's under my jacket. And I'm clicking away. He catches me. I got a shot of him staring right down the barrel just before he screamed, F you, slammed the microphone down, jumped off the stage.
What?
And started swinging at me. Just swinging.
Oh, my God. Oh, jeez.
The thing is, the crowd thought he was just doing a stage dive. So they held him up off the floor. He was desperately trying to get his feet on the floor and swinging at me as I'm backing away going click, click. And they pushed him back up onto the stage.
He was so frustrated. My God, that's tremendous.
And a few minutes later, I get a tap on the shoulder. The big security guard is like, you got credentials for that camera? I was like, no, come with me. And all the way back to the back, I was just in my mind. I had a 1940s movie in my head. Like, they're going to take me in the back, beat me up, rip the film out of my camera. He just gets to the coat check and he goes, You got to leave it with her.
Yeah, got it.
So I got to keep the film and everything.
That's perfect.
Like, oh my God.
That's perfect. Mike, we got to go. That's an awkward encounter for sure. Major Garrett in seconds.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's the best. Major is here, like all of our guests, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So far, things are great involving Israel, Hamas, and the ceasefire. Positive comments. Hostages potentially released Sunday, if not Monday or Tuesday. The President of the United States is right in the middle of this. As specific as you can be from your sourcing and talking to others, how much credit does the president deserve for what has taken place?
Substantial. I don't think there's any question about it. I don't think that there's any sense in the region that this would have happened absent the forceful and, as the Economist wrote yesterday, transactional and bullying diplomacy of Donald Trump. And the Economist meant that, as I said in my show open last night, as a compliment.
Yep. Right.
The Netanyahu government has had to do things it would prefer not to, make changes to the approach it wanted to take in Gaza and elsewhere, make assurances to all the various parties. The Turks, the Qataris, had to apologize to the Qataris for shooting missiles into Doha, mm-hmm. targeting Hamas negotiators there. Representations to Egypt, representations to Muslim and Arab countries outside of the region. And those would not have happened, no one believes, without President Trump telling the Israeli Prime Minister, you have to do this or this can't go on, and I will begin to back away from your government if you continue the policies as they are. And it's also worth pointing out that because Trump until recently had backed Israel so energetically and without any real questioning, allowed Israel's military to carry out a ravaging and pulverizing war in Gaza that has almost, and this is an important caveat, systematically eliminated Hamas leadership, giving them very few options they've never had to face before. Their leadership was decimated. Their ability to function in Gaza was severely limited, and their support in the region had basically vanished. Hamas had very few alternatives, if any, to this deal. And that would not have been achieved had it not been for the pulverizing military campaign and all of the attendant civilian casualties that Israel was willing to tolerate, which it had never been willing to tolerate destruction of this kind before, never. It would never have looked in the mirror 10 years ago and said, this is the Israel that we imagined for ourselves. Never. But after October 7th, all calculations changed.
I agree wholeheartedly. The president deserves significant credit headed to the region. That will be an enormous moment. Because it's the Middle East, we don't know if this is going to hold for a month, a week, or 2 years. I mean, the history right. is fraught where you think you have peace and it's fighting over land. It's something intended happens, something unintended happens. But without a doubt, the president deserves a great deal of credit. And I think you touched on a big part there, Major, where Bibi Netanyahu had to believe Donald Trump that they weren't just words, that he has been such a forceful supporter of Netanyahu with the first term, second term. But when he's saying you're not getting a better deal than this, and you have to listen to me because we're not going to abandon you was not, I'm sure we're not the words, but we're going to start dramatically pulling back. And if we pull back, just wait for, I don't want to say your vulnerability, but where the public and the number of people who you thought were your allies 2 years ago, they're starting to shrink by the day.
Mm-hmm. Right. In the first Trump administration, there was a phrase that Jared Kushner often expressed privately in the context of the Palestinians and their aspirations. Cut your deal now. It's only going to get worse if you don't. And that proved true year after year after year of the Trump administration. Every maneuver the Trump administration took was a signal. We are backing Israel. Make your deal with the Israelis now, because if you don't, it's only going to get worse. And nothing happened. For the first time recently, the president and Jared Kushner turned to Bibi and said, take your deal now. It's only going to get worse. That had never directionally been put in his face before, and it happened this time. And look, it wasn't going to be a decoupling. Of course not. There's never going to be a decoupling.
No.
Under this administration or any other administration, Republican or Democrat, mm-mm, in the state of Israel, never. But for the first time, the president was saying, no, no, no. I'm shifting this now. The ultimatum is now facing you. Make your deal now, because my terms will only become more, not less uncomfortable for you, more uncomfortable. And you think you might have problems with the dissidents in your coalition government now? Wait until I press my case even further. So cut your deal now. Work with me. And it's important to have other regional partners, but also Pakistan, Indonesia, Muslim countries, big players outside the region also saying, we are now invested in this, because that offers the prospect of money and materiel and other forms of support for this governing technocratic institution that's supposed to govern Gaza, get Hamas out of there. All of those things are critical to the implementation. But to your point, lots of aspirations and hopes have been dashed in the Middle East. That's clear. But as many have written about this moment, this is different. We are not any longer in this conversation talking about this line or this neighborhood or access to this number of gallons of water or this number of people who can return or regain what they once had. All of those details were knotty and difficult and seemingly never ending. This is now much bigger. Plot of land, who occupies it, who's going to see it, where's the investment dollars come from, what does a civilian population not governed by Gaza look like, how do they operate, how they get access health care, basic fundamentals of life. All the other things have been pushed aside that offer some prospect that this could be different.
When I woke up today, I saw a headline and I just kind of kept walking, and it's the Secretary of Defense announcing another base with Qatar, whichever pronunciation we're going with today. And I kind of thought, okay, it's normal. And then I went, wait a second. Hold on a second. I need to look again, because we are now hosting a Qatari Air Force facility in Idaho. It's hard to be completely gobsmacked with the Trump administration. I was with this announcement.
Well, you know, when you provide a new Air Force
That's
One,
it.
I guess certain benefits accrue.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. You get a plane that's worth a lot of money. And by the way, he's going to be using that plane a lot, whether he's still the president or he's on his own. So Qatar is going to have a base in Idaho.
Now we have, and for many, many years have had, joint training operations with Air Force personnel from lots of different allied countries. This looks a little bit more formal, more formalized, kind of has a permanence to it that's a little different.
Yeah.
It's not like coming in for a couple of months, get some training, go back home.
Yeah. Man, that was sad.
Now the Qataris would say, well, what do you think Al Udeid is? It's the largest base you have in the entire central command. It's right. American and it's in our country. So, you know, how about a little
quid pro quo? Yeah.
Reciprocity.
Yep. It's let me just say, if this would have happened under Kamala Harris, I would have been curious. Would have been very curious to hear some folks' reaction.
I'm sure if Barack Obama had done this, it would have all gone down nicely.
Sean Hannity would have been a big supporter. There's no doubt. He would have come out right away and said, great, great alliance. All right. Among our topics when we come back, Marjorie Taylor Greene and her spot, the Nobel Peace Prize, and what kind of food share is Major Garrett? All those coming up next on CCO. I'm going to talk Aquarius. I'm going to talk Connecticut and their drinking water system, because I could give you a lot on Aquarius. Started in 1987, earning the right to be recommended. Hey, where we're going in a couple weeks, you're going to need that furnace on. The water softer, and you know, your dishes are better. The shower and the bath is better. Your laundry's better. But let's zero in on the Connecticut drinking water system, which to many people is the calling card for Aquarius Home Services. Guess what? If you've thought about it, first of all, if you have it, bravo, because I've had one since 1993. That's how much I believe in the company. But this is your time. You thought, at some point I'm going to get go with Aquarius and get that Connecticut drinking water system. Now is the time. You can save up to 25% on the best drinking water system in the business. Track them down. AquariusHomeServices.com. To suggest that the President of the United States' campaign for the Nobel Peace Prize may be the understatement of the year. It was announced today. He did not win. And in citing the winner, here's what the Nobel Committee said, which allowed her to win. And this is tied to Alfred Nobel's will for the selection. She has brought her country's opposition together. She has never wavered in resisting the militarization of Venezuelan society. And she has been steadfast in her support for a peaceful transition to democracy. Let's just be really honest. If that's in the will, and I'm sure it is, and you're honestly evaluating Donald Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize on those three categories, fail.
I'm sure that's the conclusion the committee reached. Maria Corina Machado won in Venezuela. And I just got an email from our White House producers. The White House confirmed moments ago or sometime today, President Trump called Maria Corina Machado, congratulated her.
Excellent. And I like
that. And said that she deserved to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Good.
So that's a recognition on the part of the president. That's a graceful act. Important, worth noting. I'm glad to note that because I just learned that. And for those of us who were lucky enough, as I was, to go to the award ceremony in 2009 for the Nobel Peace Prize, to witness the speech of one Barack Obama, who had just won it, we remember that newly elected President Obama said, more or less, you know, I probably shouldn't be getting this.
And, you know, he was right, don't you think?
Yeah, he was right. He was right. I mean, he didn't look out of that audience and say, y'all are nuts, but he came close.
Yeah.
He said,
he still showed up.
Entering my life on the world stage. I haven't done anything.
Right.
I'm not a significant human rights figure. I've not been part of a non-governmental organization that's fought militarization or anti-democracy or authoritarian forces. I haven't done any of those things. I hope to live up to this, and I only tell and retell that story because that is one of the things that has stuck ever since in Donald Trump, the American real estate magnates, craw, candidate Trump, nominee Trump, President Trump first time, President Trump second time. And those around him believe that at least he deserves due consideration. But considering what's going on in the interior of the United States and with what has gone on in Gaza, even though the president very well may succeed, we don't know, in resolving it, the support for Israel in the context of civilian loss of life in Gaza would have the Nobel Committee would have a very, very hard time.
Well, and I also saw this a couple places, Major, that you had to submit the process of entry months and months and months ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything that's happened in the last couple months, including this last week, that's irrelevant. And it also points out again that if January 31st was also the requirement to submit someone when Barack Obama was president, he had been president for 10 days.
Yeah, exactly. There was a farcical component to that.
Yeah.
There really was. And it was essentially viewed as a kind of Nobel Peace Prize to America for crossing this racial threshold.
Yeah, right. Yes.
That's what it was. It was symbolic for what America, for the stage that America had come to be politically, and Barack Obama was the elected representative of that journey. And it was sort of the Nobel Peace Prize award to Barack Obama, President of the United States, sort of for the country writ large. And that's going, let's just say, a little beyond the will and a little beyond the historical definitions of that.
Correct. No doubt. Let me jump in because we got about 4 minutes left. I want to get to a couple of things here.
Yeah.
Dave, go ahead and play any bit of audio we have from sometimes you might listen to this. You might think this is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or it's Bernie Sanders. No, it's Marjorie Taylor Greene yesterday on CNN. Go ahead. Hit it.
I've been vocal saying, you can use the nuclear option in the Senate. This doesn't have to be a shutdown. But what we have to do is we have to work for the American people. And our country is so divided right now. We see it all the time in every single way. It's divided in what I would say very dangerous ways. And we saw that with the recent assassination of Charlie Kirk, which has upset so many people across the board. And look, when it comes to hearing from senior citizens or my own friends and neighbors and my own family members and people that voted for me, and they're just saying, Marjorie, we just really want somebody to do something about health insurance premiums. We really want our government and our leaders to actually focus on our country for a change and fix our problems. That is the message I constantly hear from my district. And I'm a representative. I don't have to be a cheerleader for my party.
She also said the shutdown is the blame of her own party, blamed her party. What are your thoughts on Marjorie Taylor Greene and seemingly where she's moved a little bit the last few months?
Yeah, she's on what screenwriters would call a journey, a character journey. and it has potential political ramifications.
Yeah, it does.
She's still in the MAGA movement. Make no mistake about that. She still says Democrats should vote to reopen the government. She's not walked away from the principal writ large 30,000-foot Republican talking points on this. And I brought up that very comment that you just played with Speaker Mike Johnson on my show, The Takeout, last night. And I asked him, I said, Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying get rid of the filibuster in the Senate and end the shutdown with a simple Republican majority, which is theoretically possible. It would fundamentally change the Senate.
Dramatically.
Senate Democrats toyed with this. Plenty of them were advocating for it. And if it weren't for Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona and Joe Manchin of West Virginia,
right. The
filibuster would have been done away with. Mike Johnson said, I've told Marjorie, be careful what you wish for. You get rid of the filibuster now, someone's going to be in power in some point in time in the future, and they may undo whatever we've done and may do things that are harmful because they don't need the bipartisan requirement that the filibuster forces into being. But so that's her criticism of the Senate. Oh, just end the shutdown with getting rid of the filibuster.
Yep.
No one's prepared to do that on the Senate Republican side. Speaker Johnson's not prepared to do that. On health care, she's identified that, and she's saying, we have got to address this. I raised this also with Speaker Johnson. He said, we will, but he's not going to do anything on that, nothing, until the government shutdown has ended. I said, can you tell me a date when the House of Representatives will be back in session? He said, no.
They can be back in session.
They can
right
be. I asked
now.
Him about that. I said, you have pending appropriations bills. You could put them on the floor. No, we want to talk about those privately. And just before we went on, Chad, the clerk of the House just announced no votes, nothing going on in Washington in the House of Representatives next week.
Ridiculous.
Gone.
That's ridiculous.
Gone.
All right, we need to talk food sharing later, but we're out of time. 0 to 10, what kind of food share are you? 0, terrible, 10?
When you say food sharer, what do you mean?
You know, you want to share, like, here's you want to have a little bit of my spaghetti, you want a little bit of my steak, you know, you're sharing at a dinner. Wow. Okay, we'll leave it on that note. He's a 0. He's out of here.
0, 0.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.